But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and rise on the third day." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stopping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened.
Thank you so much for reading so well for us. I wonder if you have ever left something and then later gone back to find what it is you've left somewhere and discovered that it is no longer there. It seems to have disappeared. Somebody else has picked it up and gone and put it somewhere else, and now you can't find it anymore. You know, for example, you come in home from school or wherever you've been, and you drop your coat on the floor near the door. You head into the kitchen for a drink and a little bit of a bite to eat, and then you head into the dining room, perhaps to sit at the dining room table to do your homework. And later on, you go and play in the garden. It's a little bit cold. You need your coat. You go back to where you left it, and it isn't there. What happened to your coat? Any answers? Yeah. That's right. Your mum or your dad has picked it up and put it in the right place. Why? Because you left it in the wrong place. And they went and picked it up and they put it in the right place. And you say to yourself, "Tim, what on earth has this got to do with Easter?" An awful lot. An awful lot. See, on Easter Day, some women, and we have their names given to us, they headed off to find Jesus' body at the grave where he had been put, but he wasn't there. Why wasn't he there? Because God had taken his son Jesus and put him where he should be, not where he didn't belong. He did not belong in death and in the grave. Jesus, the Son of God, belonged with life and life eternal. As the angel said to those women who went to the grave, "Why do you look for or seek the living among the dead? He's not here. This is the wrong place to look for him. He has risen." Christ is risen. He has risen from the dead. Hallelujah is the way we began our time together. So how do we know Jesus rose from the dead? Okay, I've got two really simple things to say. Number one, what the women saw. Okay, what the women saw. There's a picture of a woman there having a good look through the binoculars on the screen there. What did the women see? Well, they're named as Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and another Mary who was the mother of James. And they went to Jesus' grave, and they saw the stone rolled away, but they did not find the body. They saw the stone, but they did not see Jesus' body. What a disappointment to find a stone and not a stone-cold body. They were bewildered. They didn't know what had happened. What a surprise for those women. What is even more interesting, though, and what helps us to actually believe in the resurrection is this, okay? And bear with me, women and girls amongst us, okay? Back in the day, a woman's testimony was not accepted in a court of law. They were not counted as someone who could give a good, faithful, and reliable testimony in a court of law. And so straight away, we're thinking, if Luke is making this up, he would have left this little bit out, wouldn't he? He would have been trying to make sure the story was absolutely believable. But he didn't leave it out. Why didn't he leave it out? Because it was true. It really did happen this way. The first witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead was the women. Luke tells us something at the beginning of his book about what God did through some angels then when Jesus was born. God sent angels, his messengers, to some shepherds who were out in the fields watching their flocks by night. And so shepherds, who I also understand, their testimony was also not accepted in a court of law because they were renowned for pilferers and being thieves and liars. They were the first witnesses to Jesus' resurrection. See, God wants us to know that Jesus Christ came into the world for everybody, including those shepherds. And God wants us to know with the resurrection that just as at creation in Genesis 1 to 3, we find that women and men share in the stewardship of God's creation as in his image together. And so the beginning in this new creation order, new life, eternal life in the kingdom of God, women share with men as equal caretakers and those who are responsible for God, for the message and the good news of the kingdom of God. What the women saw, I think it compels us to believe that this really did happen. Secondly, what the men suspected. The men were suspicious. There's a man thinking very deeply, very deep thoughts. He doesn't quite know which direction to go in with the ideas that are in his head. You see, some people say that the disciples were so loyal to Jesus, they loved him so much and they'd lost so much when he died. They were from a gullible generation, people 2,000 years ago, really were that stupid. They were so thick, they really wanted it to be true. So that they, you know, when someone said, oh, yes, he's risen, they would just went for it. Yes, of course, Jesus has risen. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the men suspected that what the women were saying was not true. They weren't stupid. Like many men today, and like many men still do, most men, I think, and speaking as a man, think that we can probably spot a con artist at 500 miles. Because basically all of us men think we're quite clever at that sort of thing. And then we're somewhat bewildered when we do get conned. It really hurts our pride that we didn't see it coming. Verse 11, these words, the words of the women, seemed to them an idle tale, and they didn't believe them. Now, the men suspected that it was all nonsense, but not because it was the women who were saying it. You see, I think the women included the part of the story, the angels had told them, remember, Jesus told you he was going to rise again. I don't think that they left that bit out. Now, as you read the resurrection stories, that is one of the most important things that keeps on being reiterated. Jesus said he would rise again, and he did. So no doubt the women said, Jesus, your Lord and Master, said he was going to rise again. And still they thought it was idle storytelling. It wasn't just what the women said. It was simply this. Dead people do not rise from the dead, okay? And they don't. The men weren't stupid. They suspect it was all a con because when you die, you rot. That's it. The worms go in, the worms go out. That's it. It's the harsh reality of it. That's why they doubted. The men suspected it was all nonsense for that reason and that reason alone. But, you know, for us as we hear and read Luke's gospel, this tells us that it's not made up. They weren't fabricating, making up a story. Matthew's gospel tells us that even when Jesus had risen, they'd all seen him. He meets them on a great mountain and he's going to go back to heaven and they worship him. And it still says at that point that some of them still doubted. Because it's normal for us to react in this way when something so amazing happens. Peter, though, began, if I can put it this way, to doubt his doubts, to suspect his own suspicions, to be skeptical about his own skepticism. And so he ran to check up himself at the grave what the women had said. And when he got there, we are told in verse 12 that he just saw the grave clothes. There's another picture coming up on the screen for us. Here is a depiction of Easter. Top left-hand corner, if Jesus had died and stayed died, it would have been like that. Top right-hand corner, well, that's where the talk today began. Just chucking your clothes down on the ground. That's a teenager. If you find clothes on the ground like that, you know it's a teenager who's been around, or anyone who's a child, or even maybe, you know, your husband or wife's like that. Grave robbers, that's what would have happened. You see, Peter found the grave clothes. If someone had taken the body, whether it's the Roman soldiers or it was the Jewish authorities, the religious authorities at the time, or it was someone else seeing the body, they would not. If you're robbing something, you get in quick and you get out. That's why you have things called escape cars. You don't hang around. You don't go, oh, well, let's just unfold all the body and leave the grave clothes here and leave them all neat. Let's fold them up and leave it all neat. No. Peter was suspecting his suspicions. And when he sees the grave clothes, we're told that he goes home and marvels. Things have changed for him. He's begun to see that what the women have said is very likely to be absolutely true. Jesus did not belong in a grave. That was the wrong place for him. He was not where they had put him. He had risen. Jesus is alive. We're going to ask the musicians to come back out to the front. We're going to sing a song in response to this first part of our little looking at Luke 24 today. We're going to sing See What a Morning. Well, in here, we're going to hum along loudly. And if you want, raise your hands and let's respond to the message. The musicians, please do sit down. We can be sure that Jesus rose from the dead because, number one, what the women saw. Number two, what the men suspected actually gives the whole thing that ring of truth. The dead don't rise. But above all, not just what the women said, not just what the men suspected, but above all and mainly because of what Jesus himself said. The angels emphasize very clearly that Jesus had taught on a number of occasions, and we can read about them in Luke's gospel, we can read them about them in the other gospels. Jesus clearly taught that he would be crucified, that he would die, and on the third day he would rise again. But his disciples had completely forgotten this. They'd already gone right over the top of their heads, or they'd completely ignored it, or all they had thought that Jesus was speaking about some sort of, if I can put it this way, airy-fairy, spiritually resurrection-y kind of a thingamy-bob. No. Real. Physical. Bodily. Now, he meets them, and they, in fact, if you read the gospel accounts, Jesus appears, and just about every single time he appears, it's in and around a mealtime. Get me some fish. I'll eat it. I'm not a ghost. Seriously. None of this woo spooky stuff. It's me. I really am alive. And Jesus said he would rise again from the dead. Verse 6 and 7 of our reading, remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man, that is Jesus, must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise. And then we're told the women remembered his words. Of course they remembered them. Whoa. It's also interesting to know that they were there as well as the men when Jesus taught these things. And they went back and said to Peter and the others, remember, we've just remembered the words. Do you not remember what he said? This is what he said. Christianity stands or falls on this day that we celebrate today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, Christianity is absolute nonsense. And the Bible itself says that. Have a read of 1 Corinthians 15, another book of the New Testament. It says, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, we are the biggest numpties that have ever lived, basically, in the new Tim Davies translation of the Bible. We're fools. And Jesus' resurrection itself ultimately stands or falls on what Jesus said. Not what people saw, but actual fact, Jesus said he would rise. He's God. He's the Lord. He said he would rise, and he did. And that is the most important bit of evidence that there is for the resurrection itself. We can trust what Jesus says. We can trust him, and it's demonstrably true that we can trust him for the most amazing thing. I will rise, and he did. And you know what? I want to draw things to a close today with some implications and some applications, okay? There are some amazing things that all hang on the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And every single one of them is something Jesus said, okay? Jesus promised these things, and because we can trust him when he said, I will rise, and he did, we can trust him for these specific things that he said, which come out of the fact that he rose again, okay? And I want us seriously to take these to heart. And some of us will need to take them up to heart in an even more special way this Easter than we might have done before. Jesus really did rise from the dead, which means when we face sadness, when we face death and bereavement, we can believe what Jesus said to one of the criminals who was dying next to him on the cross on Good Friday. Truly, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise. He can keep that promise because he rose again. You can trust his word. When he says, today you will be with me in paradise, Joy, you can trust that for your mum. We can hold these things to be true. Jesus said them, and he has risen. When we fear God's judgment for our sin, and we believe that we can believe what Jesus said at the Last Supper, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, he passes bread and wine around, and he says to his friends, eat this meal, remembering me. And he passes the bread round and he says, this is my body which is given for you. I died in your place. We can believe that to be true. Thirdly, when we come back to Jesus from a sense of lostness in our own selfishness and in our greed, we can believe that Jesus said, what he said to that cheat called Lazarus, today salvation has come to this home. When we return from lying and cheating and stealing and from living a life far away from God, when we come back to him, We can hear him and know it's true. Today, salvation has come to you and to your home. And when we feel small and insignificant, and we feel like God would never, ever have anything to do with me, we can believe what Jesus said when he took little children in his arms, the smallest and insignificant people of the day, and said to those around them, "Let the children come to me, for to such belongs the children of God." If you feel insignificant and unimportant and really small, if you feel like you've been crushed and you feel utterly unimportant, God knows you and he welcomes you. And because Jesus rose from the dead and he said he would, we can believe him when he says, "Let the little children come to me." Come to him. He loves you and he cares for you. And when we feel deeply ashamed of ourselves, so that we are horror with ourselves at times, we can believe what Jesus said to a woman who was caught in adultery, who no one wanted to be anybody near, and she was at a party and all sorts of people were whispering around her, saying, "Oh, if Jesus knew she was, he would have nothing to do with her." We can take on board what Jesus said to her for ourselves. "Your sins are forgiven." That's what he said to her. "Your sins are forgiven." We can believe that and take Jesus' word for it. We must remember. And this comes after the resurrection. By the way, all of those are in Luke's gospel I've just quoted. When we're fearful or anxious or deeply unsettled because of our own situation, because of what somebody else is going through, and we can be anxious and so concerned about other people and their lives, we can believe what Jesus said when he appeared to those first disciples who were huddled in fear in the upper room, completely uncertain, frightened of everything that was going on around them. Behind locked doors, Jesus, the risen Jesus, appears and he says these words, which are stunning: "Peace to you." We can believe them and we can take him at his word. We can and we must trust what Jesus said about his resurrection, and it happened, which means we can trust all these other wonderful promises by the capital T, the capital T promise keeper. He is the one who can keep these promises. I'm going to hand over to Chris, who's going to lead us in a time of said and sung response. So maybe the musicians want to come out as well as Chris at this time. And Chris is going to lead us in a moment of response.